Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. God chose the Israelites as his people. They were the weakest, most insignificant nation on earth. There was nothing lovely about them, but God chose them as his people. God chose them because he loved them, and God chose them because he swore an oath to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he would make them a mighty nation. He would lead them to the promised land. But their sin, especially their worship of other gods, was offensive, very offensive with God, who was holy and who was jealous. We have a jealous God. He doesn't want us looking at other gods. He doesn't want us thinking about other gods. He wants us to love him and him only. He is jealous, and he admits it. He admits it. He loves us so much that he's jealous, and he admits it. That is a loving, loving God. While the law for the Israelites was found in the Ten Commandments, the gospel, the good news for the Israelites, was that the Lord chose them and was faithful and gracious to forgive their sins. God was true to his oath sworn to their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, even though they loved other gods. God remembered them when they were in slavery in Egypt. He sent Moses not only as a lawgiver, but also as a deliverer. God would give them the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, in spite of their sins. In spite of their sins. As to the promised land, Jesus speaks of a new promised land, the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13. The old promised land was the land of Israel, but Jesus describes the new promised land, the kingdom of heaven. By using parables, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven that we do not know to things that we do know in these parables. The kingdom of heaven will be like a man who finds treasure in a field, hides the treasure by covering it up, and goes and sells all that he has to buy that field so that he can return and dig up his treasure. The field is the world. The field is the world. The treasure is you, dear Christian. And the man is Christ, who gives up the glory of heaven to put on flesh, to come down here and live with us and purchase us, buy us, redeem us with his blood. And the kingdom of heaven is like a man in search of fine pearls who finds a pearl of great value. He sells all that he has so that he can buy that one valuable pearl. The pearl of great value is you, dear Christian. The man is Christ, who sells himself unto sin and death for you, for you. For you. And the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea that, when brought in, is full of fish, good and bad or useless fish, that were then sorted out, with the good fish being kept and the bad fish being thrown away. In like manner, at the end of time, Jesus tells us that the angels will come and separate the evil ones out and throw them into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The good fish, that is you, dear Christian, will be kept by the great fisherman of men for his kingdom. According to Jesus, in the text today, the scribe, or as I would call him, the good preacher, will speak of the old and the new. The good preacher will speak of the old promised land of the Israelites, which is a type of the new kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven promised to us is much greater than the promised land given to the Israelites. As much greater as Christ is greater than Moses. As much greater as God is greater than man. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom promised to us as our promised land. And we wonder at times, don't we? Will I see the promised land? That brings us to Romans 8:28. What could be better news for us sinners and sinners who are at the same time saints we are than to hear the following words? All things work for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Dear ones, all things means all things. Even your pride. Even your greed. Even your lust. Even all your sins God uses for your good. What else can He use from you? All your sins God uses to call you to repentance by the law and the Holy Spirit. He brings you to repentance and faith where you receive the gospel of God's mercy and forgiveness. God doesn't call you according to His purpose because you are mighty or powerful or impressive or intelligent or somehow good or somehow lovely. God calls you because, like Israel, you're the weakest, the lowest, even the rankest, maybe even the chief of sinners. He calls you to be His people, members of His kingdom. God calls you and chooses you because He loves you. And He calls you and chooses you because of the promises He has made to you in Christ. As God's man or boy, as God's woman or child, all things work for your benefit as far as your relationship with God goes. As you repent, all your sin and weaknesses serve to even enamor you to God. Makes Him love you even more. Makes Him even more jealous of you. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the mystery of all mysteries, God has chosen you as His people. He loves you with a steadfast love, the Hebrew chesed, steadfast love that endures forever, a love of a sort that is unknown to you and me outside of Christ. That is good news. That is the gospel. Whether it comes from the Old Testament or the New Testament, even though you struggle with your sinfulness, God has chosen you and is faithful to the promise made in Christ to give you the kingdom of heaven, and nothing can change God's faithfulness to you or His promises to you in Christ. God has even revealed His heart as His great love is revealed by His Son suffering and dying for you on a cross. He has given you a glimpse, a preview of your immortality by resurrecting His Son from the dead. You are the treasure in the field for which God sold His greatest treasure into death. You are the priceless pearl that Christ bought and paid for by giving up His heavenly inheritance to come into the flesh. You are the good fish, the Christian, the good fish that Jesus caught in the net of his gospel. And when he comes again, his holy angels will protect you and save you from destruction. You will not go to the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He has done all things necessary for your eternal salvation. All things work for your benefit as you stand before God as a repentant sinner who believes in God's promises. Tetelestai. Remember that word from Good Friday? Tetelestai. It is finished. It is a done deal. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And I say nothing, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.